This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins. I'm the co-host of the Twin Peaks Podcast. This young man is my fantastic co-host, Henry Viola Hare, or sometimes the squirrel. That's another joke we've done before. Right, I've got some notes I've got to get through, some formalities before we start the pod. Everyone should know what sort of style we do the pod in by now. It's very, very educational. It's meant to be two ordinary investors sharing their knowledge, their mistakes, the ups and downs and the travails of the market. And that's what Henry and I do fortnightly. It is a free podcast where I've tried to make sure that we can continue to make it a free podcast so it's accessible for everyone, no matter where they are in the world. Currently in about 90 countries around the world. That's due to Henry joining us, so the people that speak other languages have joined us because of Henry. And we are sponsored, very fortunately, having started in 2018, now sponsored by ShareScope. We're going to go through their fantastic multi-award winning platform and show you how to go about investing through any market and still win. Now, what we tried to do with the pod is to make it not only educational, but to bring everybody in to the pod. So Henry and I have made sure that every year we generate monies by asking our listeners to just make a donation for Memphis or another charity, Backup Trust, or Centrepoint was one of the charities.
Centrepoint last year, yeah.
Centrepoint. So we do that every single year. So far, since the podcast has been running in 2018, we've raised over £47,000 from our fantastic listeners. So we can give the listeners a round of applause. Thank you. So our other sponsors and other people that partner with us are Harriman House, Investors Chronicle, who I think you've all been given a magazine today, and of course, ShareScope. And every year we run a Twin Peaks Investing Challenge. And what we ask our listeners to do is to pick five stocks and they run it through the year and they have monthly prizes, which are subscriptions to ShareScope or Investors Chronicle or Harriman House Books. And that's what we try and do all the while. What are we going to do today, Henry, regarding the pod?
Well, today we are going to do a live introduction to the ShareScope platform. And we're going to have a look at the last 20 years worth of economic data. And we're going to try and find some shares that will hopefully do well for listeners, whether markets go up or markets go down.
Or stay flat.
Or stay flat, which hopefully they don't do. I prefer it when markets go up. So, Peter, let's start the show. I'm going to wander back over here now, ladies and gents. He's lassoed me in.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to ask we've got a fantastic individual in the back who's a technical analyst within ShareScope called Paul Hall. I'll introduce to him later. Paul's going to pull up the first slide regarding the graphics. And what we've asked Paul to do is showcase to us the two stocks we picked. We did Master Investor Show back in March. It was March the 29th when we actually did the show. And on the 28th, we'd done a run through regarding the defense sector. And what we did was isolate all the various stocks. And Henry and I ended up with Rheinmetall, German company. And it's profited from what's going on with NATO and EU and Donald Trump saying, you guys can sort your own problems out. So they've done exceptionally well, and Babcock. And as you can see from the charts on here, how well they've performed since that bottom date where Henry and I spoke about it. Across there, they've done exceptionally well. If Paul just nudges that across a little bit for me, Paul, you can see the performance of the chart as to what the percentage number is, because I can't actually make it out myself.
I can't actually remember which one of us picked which one here, Pete, but I'm going to claim I went for Rheinmetall.
You did go.
You did 95% up, ladies and gents, in just a few months.
Right. So, Paul, so that's what we did. So what we're going to do now, Paul's moving a bit slower than we thought we might do. Okay, so that's where we are. Paul, if you put up first the best performers of the last 20 years, and we'll start doing our metrics from there, please.
Right.
So, Henry, that's where we started from.
That is where we started from.
So we've got
from.
Some phenomenal numbers. And you can see here we have, I might as well use my clicker, haven't I? A little pointy thingy. This is what we've got here, got it for. Yeah, there we go. So we are here. Okay, so we've got a five-year movement and the 20-year movement along here, okay? And what we're looking at here is the top performers over the past 20 years, 7,170, 5,870, and so on and so on and so on and so on and so forth. What we're trying to identify in this particular podcast is who and which stocks could potentially, over the next 5-20 years, perform akin to these stocks. And we have four metrics that we've found that are recurring in these highest of performers over the past 20 years. Henry's going to go through those four particular metrics that we've used to identify them. Then we're going to select four stocks down to two. And then hopefully, if there's enough time, we haven't waffled on too much, we're going to ask you, ladies and gents, to potentially give us one or two stocks, which we can then run through on here regarding the pod, and also ask you to make a donation to Memphis, the charity which we're representing this year. Okay, Henry, so what are the four metrics that you'd like to talk about, and why have you chosen to use those four metrics, please?
Thank you very much, Peter. So just for the members of the audience that have never seen this platform before, ShareScope is a little bit like the Bloomberg terminal, but for retail investors. So it's got a huge amount of financial data in it going back, as you can see, 20-odd years. And what we've initially done is to take all of the UK shares and rank them by momentum over the last 20 years. And then we've tried to identify the metrics, the common metrics that those shares have, to see if there are any commonalities between them. And perhaps we can look at those metrics, identify them, and look forward at what we think is going to do well over the next 20 years. Now, you may ask yourselves the question, why on earth have we just picked the UK? But the theme of today's Investor Summit, the reason we're all here today, it's to look at the UK equity markets. How can we get energy back into the UK markets, get some enthusiasm back into the UK? And we think one of the best ways of doing that is showing you some of the great companies that we have here in the UK. So initially, what we did, when we filtered the top performers, we had a look at the common metrics. And there were four key things that jumped out. The first of these was a high price-to-earnings ratio. Now, a high price-to-earnings ratio can mean that the company is expensive, but it often means that the company is expensive because market participants believe that it is a company worth paying a premium for. So the first thing we did was to filter for companies with a price-to-earnings ratio of 18 or above. The second thing we did, which you can see on the screen behind me, is have a look at earnings per share forecasts. So again, your earnings per share or your owner's earnings are the profit that the company is making, distributed equally across all the shares in circulation. If the number goes up, the company is doing well, you as shareholders are doing well. So we want a company who we believe the earnings are going to go up over time, in particular over the next 12 months. And so we identified that on average, if a company has got forecast earnings per share of 18% or above, it tends to be in this top performing cohort of shares over time. Long-term listeners to the podcast will also know I'm a big fan of return on capital employed. So companies take money in the form of equity, in the form of debt, and they then use this money to hopefully generate a return for us as shareholders. We want to see a positive return on capital employed. Now, capital doesn't come free. It doesn't just fall out of the sky. It costs companies money to raise equity and to raise debt. And therefore, we want to know that companies can generate more than 10%, more than the cost of capital. I forget who it was, Peter, but there was a fund manager I was listening to that reckoned the average cost of capital in the UK is about 7.5%. So if you can't generate a return on capital of more than 7.5%, you're actually destroying shareholder value.
Absolutely. Now,
I'm a little punchier than that. I just don't just want you to be breaking even. I actually want you to be making a real profit for me over time. So I've set a benchmark of 10% return on capital employed. And not only do I want to see a return on capital employed over the last 12 months of 10% or above, I want to know that that's actually a sustainable return, that this isn't just some aberration in 1 year. So we've also filtered for a 3-year average return on capital employed, again of 10%, to show some level, we hope, of sustainability in these companies. And this has given us the list you can see on the screen behind us of 20 businesses. And we've got all sorts in here. We've got a mining company, Pan African Resources. We've got Games Workshop, Goodwin, Babcock, Filtronic, AJ Bell. The list goes on and on. Now, I can't cover all of these shares in massive amounts of detail because we'd be here all day. So what Peter and I are now going to do is pick four of these companies. Peter's going to pick two. Yep. I'm going to pick two. And we're going to do a little bit of research on them, a little bit of analysis for you as the audience. And if you like what we say, if you're interested in these businesses, you can then go away. You can use ShareScope. You can use Google. You can talk to other investors. And hopefully find some businesses that you'd like to add to your portfolios in time. So, Peter, would you like to start us off with the first share?
Thank you very much, Henry. I'm going to select Tatton Asset Management, and I'm going to do it from the role of a complete newbie that's using the platform for the first time. So, selected Tatton to go forward as part of the cohort of four, and what I will then do as a newbie, I will look at the company page first rather than the summary page. And what I want to see on this particular page is firstly, the great metrics that was going on before, but I want to see here, actually, what does the company do? I know nothing about the company. It's the first time I'm visiting this site. What does Tatton Asset Management do? And on here, you get a little summary, yeah? And it tells you all about what the company does. It offers on-platform only discretionary fund management, regulatory compliance, business consulting services, et cetera, et cetera. I've got a nice summary, okay. Who are the directors? How long have they been in position? And how long have the C-suite been in position? And who are the non-exec directors and chairpersons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Where are they based? Company information here. How can I get in touch with them, et cetera? Who are the advisors? There's an important area here that most people overlook, right? You want to have a look at who are the auditors, what's their history like? Also, who are the stockbrokers? Have they got quality backers supporting their company? Most people don't ever look at this section, and they should, because you'll see some horror stories and RNSs at 4:45, 10 past 7, and you're going, I don't want to hear that news at that particular time of day. Who are them? Have they done this before? That's usually an avoid for me, okay? So we go up here. What's their market cap? Interesting market cap, mid-cap company. I want to know equally, what's their key information coming forward and what's the plan of action going forward? Where is a breakdown of their revenues coming from? And you can see here, regionally, 100% of their revenues coming from the UK. How is it coming and where is it coming from? So here, they've got two sides of the business, 86% there, 13.9% there. I also want to know, news-wise, what's the forthcoming news regarding the company? So Paul, can you go to the news section for me, please, and let me know. What I'm trying to do here regarding Tatton is see what the latest data is for them, what they've done, how they've done it. And here, I want to go back, if I may, Paul, to their last update regarding their business, which is where can I see that? Is it further down? I want to see the full year or half year results, if I may, Paul.
This is what final results.
Yeah, there you go. So essentially what I'm doing here, if you can scroll up just a little bit for me, I'm looking at the final financial highlights here, and you can see here straight away the strength of the company. Yeah, none of these, oh, by the way, we're going to try and make up the revenues in the second half of the year. How often have we heard that? So we can see group revenues increased by 23%, adjusted operating profits 23%, adjusted operating profit margins also increased just a smidge. But importantly, profit before tax increased from 16.75 to 21.59. And also we want to be paid whilst we're waiting. What do we want to be paid for? We want to be paid dividends while we're allowing the company to use our cash. So dividends have gone from 8 pence to 9.5. And overall, most importantly, gone up 18.8%. Above 10% means that the company is really confident that they're continuing to be able to throw off cash and pay you as a reward to invest in their company. So above 10, 18 is nearly double. We're absolutely spot on with that, happy with that. And more importantly, keep Henry happy. What does it say at the bottom there, Henry?
Strong balance sheet. Yeah.
Okay, so that's my one that I will send forward. Over to you, Henry.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Peter. Great company there, by the way, ladies and gents. Tatton Asset Management. I've got a feeling we talked about this on the podcast a couple of episodes back. Big fan, and you can see on the share price performance, actually, it's done very, very well over the last 5 years. And this is what we're looking at. Quality companies tend to have quality share price movements. So for my share, I'm going to have a look, first of all, at Goodwin PLC, Paul. So if you could click over to the summary page. Now, my goodness, what's going on here? We've got blanks all over ShareScope. This is not usual, ladies and gents. What this means is that the business is potentially a very, very overlooked UK gem. It means that brokers aren't feeding in data to the master databases. They're not analysing it. They're not putting in broker forecasts. And therefore, we can't see what analysts think the shares are going to be doing. And sometimes shareholders look at a business like this and they go, oh, well, if the analysts don't care, why should I? But actually, this is, for me, the perfect kind of business to get under the skin of. Now, for those of you that don't know, Goodwin is a UK engineering business. They produce all sorts of interesting pumps and hinges and all kinds of mechanical gizmos. They've acquired lots and lots of different UK businesses over the years and rolled them together into this fantastic company, which has now got a market cap of nearly £700 million. And yet, how many retail investors do you hear talking about a company like Goodwin? It's all Apple, it's all Google, it's all Facebook and Microsoft. But this business has got a return on capital employed of 17%. Really strong performer. Not only does it have a return on capital of 17%, but it's had a three-year average of 11%. So it's growing its returns over time. It's growing its operating margins. And it's returning more profit to you as the shareholder as time goes on. Why wouldn't you want to own a little bit of this? As you can tell, I'm fairly bullish on this one. Now, the screen behind me, although it doesn't have a lot of forecast data on it, actually, Paul, if you go back to, where is it, the income statement for me. What ShareScope does, it aggregates all of the income statements, the balance sheets, the news feeds for businesses, and it then puts them in these lovely little graphics. So on the right-hand side of the screen behind me, you can see three graphs. You can see turnover, you can see pre-tax profit, and you can see earnings per share. And what do you notice about all of these over the last 5 or 6 years? They're going absolutely parabolic, ladies and gents. This business is going from strength to strength. So I don't know why the analysts don't want to cover it, because to me, I want to go and buy a bit of this right now. So for me, this is one that, as a co-host of the Twin Peaks podcast, I am quite happy to say to you, go home, pick up some annual statements, go and have a read, look at the website, see what you think. Write in, let us know, because I think this is a bit of an overlooked gem.
Agreed, Henry. And also, additional to that, there's a little bit on the summary page, Paul, if you go back very briefly. Everybody wants to be paid. You see here, ladies and gents, years paid dividends. Yeah, 33 years of paying and rewarding you as a shareholder. You'd love to see that, yeah, because you'd be able to compound and compound and compound. And using the figure of 72, you look at that. What was the dividend yield on it? I'm not sure. Doesn't even say it on here, Henry, does it?
If you go to the ratios page, Paul, for us.
I do know that they pay a dividend, but the beauty of it is that...
You'll see the dividend yield, it's currently paying about 3%, 3.1%, yeah. So it's averaged about 3.5% over the last 6 years.
So yeah, so that's another quality company there. Okay, Henry, I'm going to choose another financial company, if I may, Paul. AJ Bell. Everyone should know about AJ Bell now. You may have seen some people might like it, some people not. The adverts on the telly for a little Doddle thing that jumps around, and to encourage people to invest £25 a month or whatever, starting off, to just increase people's awareness of the investment and investing market. Now, I've got a lot of time for AJ Bell. It's an educator in a sense of all the different information that they put out, but it's also a quality company. And you may not be able to tell from my accent, but I was brought up north, not too far from Manchester. This is where the company is from. They've now got various different parts of it in London as well and elsewhere. But it's a Manchester-based company. And I'm going to go back to being the newbie again now, and I'm going to look at the balance sheet here. And you can see here, the turnover here is a little bit down on the last 3 years. Henry and I have spoken about these particular red areas. We want to see this area here, above that area there, three-year average, we want to see growth. The concern here would be that something's going on in the market. You know, it's questionable of whether or not we've got too many investors choosing to buy Apple, the Magnificent Seven, and so on and so forth. But I'm a big believer that AJ Bell will continue to go from strength to strength. But if I look on the company information, one of the things that's changed more recently is that the founder of the company...
Andy Bell,
has given up the CEO role, and he's still got a large shareholding in the company, but he's taken a back seat. He's still very active with the company. But you can see here, it's a quality company. It's got a market cap now of over 2 billion. Yeah. Number of shares in issue, 405. You want to see that. And also, if you look at where most of their money is being made, it's predominantly a UK-based company. So all the noise around tariffs and all the other noise around the markets as to what's going to impact various different companies, it shouldn't impact AJ Bell. So you've got a little bit of blanket around you around what's going on with that particular company. And equally, as I said earlier, they're an educator. There's lots of content on their website. If you sign up to their platform, you can find everything you need regarding education. So that's another company that I like. I'll go into more detail about
biased on AJ Bell, by the way. They're my broker. I love them. I think everybody should go and get an account with them. Totally biased. They are actually here today, I believe, as well. So
they are. And Henry's on commission, I believe. Right. So where would you want to go next, Henry?
Right. AJ Bell. My next one I was going to go for, and I know there are some members of the audience that are going to love this. I am going to go for Games Workshop, ladies and gents. And we've actually got a member of our show in the audience today, Matt, who is a big fan of Games Workshop. So hopefully, Matt, you enjoy my analysis of this company.
Is Matt here? Can I see Matt?
Stick your hand up.
Oh, he's here.
Say hello. Matt Gregory,
ladies and gents. He's even got his Warhammer t-shirt on, just in case we didn't recognise him. Gosh.
So, Games Workshop. I am a big softie for Games Workshop. Founded in Nottingham in the 1980s, I believe. They were originally an importer of board games from the US. And wonderful, wonderful business that has grown exponentially over the last 40 years. What do they do today? Well, most people know them for making the little plastic toy soldiers, right? You go and buy these things, you paint them with Games Workshop paints, and then you go and play the board games. But did you know that the company is far bigger than that today? They've got their own TV channel. They're about to launch a film series, TV series, with Henry Cavill, no less.
I thought it was Henry Viola Hare.
Oh, I wish. Yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful company. But why do I say it's so wonderful? Well, if you look down at the quality metrics, and unfortunately for the ladies and gents at the back, the quality metrics are nearly at the floor level here. But 83% return on capital employed, ladies and gentlemen. If you give these guys a pound, you know, you're going to get so much money back. This is a cash-generating machine. Why is it a cash-generating machine? Well, because, as I was discussing with Matt earlier this morning, actually, this is basically an IP-led business now. It isn't a manufacturing company producing toy soldiers. It's selling their IP, licensing it out. Other people have got the manufacturing costs. Other people have got the distribution costs. These guys own the IP and take the profits. And it's been incredibly lucrative for them. You can see on the price movement chart on the top hand right-hand side of the screen, share price growth year after year after year, barring COVID when things went a little bit pear-shaped, but we'll forgive them that. And this year, you know, this year alone, up nearly 15% year-to-date. But it's not just about the price, ladies and gentlemen. We are looking for future potential growth. And Paul, if you can click onto the forecasts tab for me, on the top bar. Now, what's going on here? This doesn't look good. This doesn't look good at all. Target price looks slightly overvalued. Turnover, not so sure they're going to do so well. There's pressures on the UK market. Can consumers continue to buy? Pre-tax profit down 15% expected this year. Not sure I like the sound of that, ladies and gents. And this is where it's important, Paul, if you can scroll down the screen a little bit to bring the forecasts up. Actually, it's important to look long-term. Peter and I are always talking about being long-term investors. What do we mean by that? It's important not just to look at the next 12 months forecasts, but the next 2 years, the next 3 years, the next 10 years. And you can see here things maybe don't look so bad from 2027 onwards. Turnover is expected to continue its growth trajectory. Pre-tax profit is expected to continue its growth trajectory. Even earnings per share, having a little bit of a tough time, but expected to return to growth eventually. And this is where I think as investors, we've got to be really careful, because if you remember, this episode is all about trying to find shares that are going to do well, whether markets go up or down. And when markets go up, companies tend to do well, share prices tend to do well. And when markets go down, likewise, they tend to be correlated. But over time, the strongest companies thrive. And to me, Games Workshop is one of the best companies we've got in the UK right now. Wonderful management team, wonderful return on capital employed, and again, a great research target for those of you that are interested in a growing, thriving UK-based business.
Absolutely agree, Henry.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Ladies and gents, what we're going to do now is ask Matt to come up briefly. Matt, come up here. Honestly, mate, come on up. This is what we do on the podcast. We do random things.
We do random things.
So come on up, Matt.
Give him
come
a big up, round of applause, give ladies Matt. And gents.
This is completely unplanned and unsketched. And Henry's looking at me going, what the hell are you doing?
But yeah,
this is
what I'm going, what the
turn around, young man. Turn around. Okay, Matt. You can speak into my mic if you want.
Okay.
Oh, you don't need it. People can hear you. Can you just tell us very quickly 2 points regarding Games Workshop that are overlooked, please? Well, we've got your mic, because you're the biggest fan I know. Right, so very quickly, go for it.
Probably the
go.
So two big things with them is education and weirdly the scouts. If you are a teacher or a scout leader, you can approach Games Workshop and they will probably give you about, I think it's about 300 quid's worth of rules, paints, miniatures, everything else to get you started in them. A friend of mine is a teacher who runs the Warhammer Club at their school. It's actually oversubscribed because the kids who had to go there, they tend to start having less behavioural problems in classes. They're reading more, their math skills goes up, their literary skills go up, and parents pay to get their kids off their phones.
More signage up here, mate, just for the parents.
And I always call it the Waterstones effect. There are three IPs that are fantasy-based or sci-fi-based products that have come purely out of gaming, that if you go into the Waterstones, go into the fantasy set section, you'll see three IPs that are based on games. So obviously you'll see Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, all that sort of thing. Three stand out because they're not from kind of a literary background. Ones you'll see are Dungeons and Dragons. You might see some stuff from World of Warcraft. The other one you'll see is something from 40K. That means they've got a cut through into regular high street that's not specifically focusing on the war game market. So they're starting to get that mass market appeal of people kind of actually interacting with it, not from just the miniatures, but buying, as Henry was saying, the IP. Games Workshop write and publish those books themselves as part of their Black Library arm. And of course, they've just signed the deal with Amazon. And then they've also got the gaming side. We just had Space Marine 2 out this year, which is
fantastic game.
Gangbusters. I know there's Space Marine 3 already in the works. And there are several other products. The handy thing with that is Games Workshop pays not a penny to have those games developed. They shoulder none of the cost. They just nick 30% of the profit at the end of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Gregory. This is the quality of our listenership that we have around the world. Matthew Gregory, fantastic. One more little impromptu thing. Henry's going, this guy's off his head. I want to say a big, big thank you to one lovely lady who has been following this podcast forever. and she's actually managed to travel all the way from Germany just to be with us today. Please can we give a round of applause, stand up, Jane, for me. This is Jane Crowder. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Jane. Love you to bits. Henry, I've lost track of what we're doing, but let's carry on. Wonderful. Where do you want to go next? Got a cohort of four, Paul. Have we still? We should go back to the pod that we were meant to be doing.
Yeah, cohort of four. So, ladies and gents, I should round this off really by saying that we're not making a buy or a sell recommendation on these. We never do.
Not even Games Workshop?
Not even Games Workshop. That's for the go talk to Matt, who may be on commission. The whole ethos of our podcast is about encouraging you as investors to do your research, right? So don't just piggyback on what we're telling you. It's about us talking honestly about what we're seeing with shares, what we're seeing in the market, giving you ideas and you the confidence. Because Peter and I and the team at ShareScope, we're not here to make these decisions for you. No one will care more about your money than you do. These four shares that we've talked about today, and indeed the longer list of 20 we had up on the screen, these are just ideas for you to go and explore. But what Peter and I try to encourage all of you to do, and everybody we talk to with investing, is really to take ownership of your finances, take an interest in the companies that are in your portfolio. And as Simon French was saying this morning, with the rise of defined contribution pensions, it's never been more important that you understand what's going on in the markets, what's going on with the companies that you hold, and why your investments are doing what they're doing. And so hopefully today, Peter and I have given you an insight into four companies, the sorts of things we're looking at, the sorts of things we're thinking about. We can't cover it all in one episode, but please do, if you don't already, tune in and subscribe. You can find us both on YouTube. And we're always available. We're on LinkedIn. Yeah. We're on Twitter. You might even bump into me. I work around here if you live in the city or work in the city. We're always open for a chat. And hopefully you've enjoyed the last episode of the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast.
Thank you ever so much, ladies. We're going to have... How much time we got left, Mark? Are we done?
I think there's about 10 minutes for...
Okie dokie. So if you do like the pod, as Henry said, find us on YouTube, find us on Apple iTunes and so on and so forth. We're now going to, I've got the mic here actually, might need to give it to Mark. If you've got a question regarding a particular stock or any stocks we've talked about or a stock in your portfolio, we'll try and quickly analyse one or two stocks while we've got 10 minutes. So get your hands ready to put in the air regarding a stock.
Yeah, select. Hands up if anybody's got a share in their portfolio.
Which is not Games Workshop, by the way.
I can be cheeky and I'll jump in with one for you to look at. Cranswick, ticker CWK.
Cranswick, okay, let's have a look at then. This. Right, my first question, food producers, what do they produce? Let's have a look at the company tab. So, British supplier of fresh pork, sausages and cooked meats through retail, food service and manufacturing channels. Company operates through its food segment, which manufactures and supplies products to the UK grocery retailing section, the food service section and other food producers. Rather worryingly, they've also started supplying pet food. Not sure what that says about the quality of the sausages, but anyway.
How dare you, Henry?
Outrageous, I know.
It's efficient use of the whole animal.
Exactly. Yeah. So if we go over to the summary tab, let's see what we can see here. Wow. Look at that share price movement. Up 23% 2023, up 27% 2024, up 8% 2025. Forecast turnover growth of 8.6%, forecast earnings per share growth of 7%. Pays a nice dividend, 2%. Forecast to grow the dividend at 5.5%, and 33 years paid. Ladies and gents, this is a business that clearly appreciates its investors and wants to reward them. And return on capital employed of 17%. Mark, there is a lot I like about this business, sir. Yeah, Peter, good. Any thoughts?
No, it's a good company, and another quality British company. And obviously, I suspect, given the warm weather we've had in the past month and a half in most of the parts of the country, that they've done very well selling their barbecue products. Yeah, so good call there, Mark. We've got Neville at the front here, who wants to give us a stock. What have you got there, Neville? What would you like to look at?
Hi, guys. I'm a long-term listener to the podcast. You may see me at FTSE Bets. On Twitter.
Excellent. Thank you for coming.
Where have you travelled from today, Neville?
From Northern Ireland.
Yep. Thank you ever so much, sir, for gracing us with your present. Much appreciated.
Yeah, so I entered the stock picking competition and hoping to win it with my stock.
Love the confidence.
Yeah, my star pick is Shield Therapeutics.
It's an
iron deficiency drug manufacturer.
STX. Yeah. This has been a popular pick in the competition.
It certainly has been, yep.
Ladies and gents, for those of you that don't know, every year we run a competition. It's free to enter. Every listener gets to pick 5 shares for a fantasy portfolio, and every month, one of those portfolios that performs the best will win 1 of 12 books. At the end of the year, the overall winner for the year also wins a copy of all 12, a year subscription to Investors Chronicle, a subscription to ShareScope.
As well.
Is there anything else I've forgotten, Peter?
Get a hug from you if they ever
meet. A hug from me as well, if you're very unlucky.
You wouldn't want to miss out on one of that.
So, Shield Therapeutics, this has been a fan favourite. And my goodness, look at that share price chart. That's just terrifying. Down 65%, down 30%, down 84%. By this point, Verity would have divorced me, ladies and gents. but this year, up 91%. So what has happened this year?
I know what's happened, Henry.
What's happened?
Neville had a word. He sent the boys in.
Kicked him into touch. So, Paul, could we have a look at the news section? Let's see if we can spot anything here for the current share. So,
trading update. Yeah, that'll do. We'll have a look at that one, see what happened here. Can we see anything significant? Or Neville will sort of tell us where it triggered, when things got triggered off, because that's only back from July. So here, you know, net revenues up from 6.4 million to 12. Average net selling has gone up from 187 to 231. And again, everything seems to be heading in the right direction. And more importantly, for a small company, it's not sitting there with a bowl coming out saying, we need more cash. It's holding on to its cash. It's got some money there to do what it needs to do going forward, to increase their productivity going forward, boost licenses, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, not a bad company. And clearly, this year, the catalyst has been kicked off 90% year to date already. What do you want to add regarding what else has happened apart from you going in having words with the CEO?
Yeah, they're hoping to turn cash flow positive by year end.
Now that's huge.
Yeah, hoping to launch Accrufer as their main drug in Korea.
Yep.
And also approval for the children's market in iron deficiency, which is also huge.
Yeah, good call, good shout. When did you get in? Earlier this year?
Oh, I had the nightmare.
Oh, you were back on the slide down. Yeah. We won't hold it against you. We've all been there, mate. We've all been there.
Bought in at 50p about 5 years ago.
Wow.
And then doubled down at about 2p.
Yeah.
So.
Are you still married?
Yeah.
You are?
Still in profit.
Okie dokie. Well done, Neville. I think we've got room for maybe one more question, ladies and gents, and then we're going to have to close. Who's going to go next? Sorry, what's your name, sir?
Simon.
Let's get him the microphone. Here we go.
On your list there, you had a company called Filtronic.
Yes.
And they had some very good news recently, and the share price rocketed.
Yep.
But my question is, I know it's dropped since, but the question is it a flash in the pan, or is it some substance to that company? It's all like we're reorganising the management, we're going to do great things. Mm-hmm. But is there any real substance to those claims? And can you show that through the data here?
Let's have a look. Well, it's a good question. We talked about Filtronic on the show a while back. Mm-hmm. And it's a business I quite like, but I didn't know the history. So like you say, seems to be they're constantly reorganizing. So what would I look for here? Well, straight off the bat, you've got forecast growth red across the screen. Not too keen on that, if I'm honest. Very strong return on capital employed, 52%. So I'm getting conflicting signals here. One thing I'd be interested in is the income statement. So, Paul, if you could whip that up for me. How much of this is dropping through to the bottom line? So, tiny turnover. What's that? 17 million a year, 15, 17, 16. So, it's gone parabolic up to 56 million next year, and brokers are forecasting 54 million and then 59 million. So, brokers seem fairly confident in it. Like you, though, I'm a little bit sceptical because a lot of this, from my understanding, hinges on, I think it was a contract with SpaceX.
SpaceX, correct, yeah.
And so Filtronic, I think they produce microchips, something similar, radio frequency devices. And the big contract they got was to put these things into SpaceX satellites. This thing's worth tens of millions, this contract. The question is, if that falls through, what on earth's going to happen? So for me, this is quite a binary bet right now, because if that contract falls through, I think you could be in for an almighty crunch as a shareholder. Do I think it's got legs? I do. You know, I'd be willing to take them at their word, but I wouldn't be willing to go piling into this wholesale.
Agreed. And Paul, if you can do me a really big favour, you can go back and zoom right out to a 20-year chart, 25-year chart.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah, do that. This was a tech darling company back in the day. And when Henry and I first spoke about this company...
He caught me out with this.
No, he wasn't about catching out, but I'm... As you might be able to tell, I'm a few years older than Henry. I've been investing for as long as Henry's been born. That's how much difference there is between us. And it was a tech darling. The shares were up about £20 per share at one stage, all the way back pre-2000s. And it went all the way down. Could it go back and get, you know, rejuvenated again with a change of management and all that? Absolutely quite possible. But it needs to diversify away from SpaceX and not be overly reliant just on SpaceX, giving them their profitability and their revenue. So that would be my concern. Waiting for the next or the next two contracts with some behemoths which are not SpaceX. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, can I get a big round of applause for my co-host, Henry Viola-Hair? Can I get a big round of applause for Matthew Gregory? A big round of applause for Jane Croucher. Neville, whose surname I do not know, from Northern Ireland, Neville. And the biggest round of applause, please, for Paul Hall in the back there from ShareScope, who's been doing all of this for you. My name is Peter Higgins, the co-host. Thank you very much. Have a fantastic day. Enjoy your lunch. Take care. God bless you all.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.